Matthew chapter 26. We read from verse 36. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then Jesus comes with them to a place called Gethsemane and says to the disciples, "Sit here until I go away and pray yonder." And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and deeply depressed. Then he says to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even unto death. Remain here and watch with me." And going forward a little, he fell upon his face, praying and saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he comes to the disciples and finds them sleeping, and says to Peter, "Thus ye have not been able to watch 1 hour with me. Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is ready, but the flesh weak." Again going away a second time, he prayed, saying, "My Father, if it cannot pass from me, unless I drink it, thy will be done." And coming, he found them again sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And leaving them, he went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he comes to the disciples and says to them, "Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour has drawn nigh, and the Son of Man is delivered up into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us go. Behold, he that delivers me up has drawn nigh." The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 14, verse 32. Mark 14:32. And they came to a place of which the name is Gethsemane. And he says to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he takes with him Peter and James and John, and he began to be amazed and oppressed in spirit. And he says to them, "My soul is full of grief, even unto death. Abide here and watch." And going forward a little, he fell upon the earth, and he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass away from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible to thee. Take away this cup from me, but not what I will, but what thou wilt." And he comes and finds them sleeping. And he says to Peter, "Simon, dost thou sleep? Hast thou not been able to watch an hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh weak." And going away, he prayed again, saying the same thing. And returning, he found them again sleeping, for their eyes were heavy, and they knew not what they were should answer him. And he comes the third time, and says to them, "Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is delivered up into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us go. Behold, he that delivers me up has drawn nigh." Luke chapter 22, verse 39. And going forth, he went according to his custom to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said to them, "Pray, that he enter not into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And having knelt down, he prayed, saying, "Father, if thou wilt, remove this cup from me. But then not my will, but thine be done." And an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in conflict, he prayed more intently. And his sweat became as great drops of blood, falling down upon the earth. And rising up from his prayer, coming to the disciples, he found them sleeping from grief. And he said to them, "Why sleep ye? Rise up and pray, that ye enter not into temptation." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do want to thank thee that by thy grace, by the salvation that thy Son has accomplished for us, we may be now in thy presence. Dear Father, we ask thee that thou wilt open our eyes that we may see that which thou desire us to see. Lord, we do sense we are standing on holy ground. We are going to see a scene that is too sacred, too holy. And yet, Lord, we know thou dost want to reveal thy Son to us. So do open our eyes, draw our hearts unto thyself. Pray that this morning we may see you. We ask in thy precious name. We believe it is the unchanging will of God for us to look off unto Jesus. It is God's will that we focus all our attention upon His beloved Son, because His Son is His will. And it's only by beholding Him we will be transformed from glory to glory and be conformed to His image. I think it was 3 months ago that we considered together the Last Supper. How our Lord Jesus gathered His own around Him during that Last Supper. How He loved them and loved them to the uttermost. How He washed their feet. And how He instituted the Lord's table that we may remember. And how He talked with His disciples for the last time and promised to give them another comforter. He showed them a new relationship between Him and them. It would be an inward relationship. He is the vine, and we are the branches. He gave His own name to us. And then He prayed to the Father for Himself, for the 11 that was with Him that night, and for the whole church throughout the ages. Now this morning we would like to continue on the life of our Lord Jesus. The Garden of Gethsemane. After the supper, the Lord led His disciples out of the city of Jerusalem, crossed the river Kidron, and went to the Mount of Olives. As He was on the way, He told His disciples that a shepherd will be smitten, and the sheep will be scattered. But He will rise again and will go before them to Galilee. He actually quoted Zechariah, chapter 13, verse 7. Arise, awake, O soul. Smite my shepherd. War against the man who is my fellow. Say Jehovah of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Peter Peter immediately remonstrated and said, even all were offended. He will never be offended. He will be willing to die with you. And the Lord said, before the cock crow twice, you will deny me three times. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to get thee, to seek thee as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are recovered, strengthen your brethren. The Lord knew what was coming. His disciples also had a sense that terrible thing was going to happen. It seems as if all the power of darkness are closing in upon our Lord. He sought for a secluded place, a place where he could go and fight. He chose the garden of Gethsemane. Brothers and sisters, immediately this reminds us of the first God. We remember in the Garden of Eden how Satan tempted the first Adam, the first man. Satan won that battle. Man lost that battle. Not only Adam himself, but as a matter of fact, he lost the battle for mankind. And now, the second man, the last Adam, he entered into a garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. And there, he fought that battle with Satan. And thank God, he won. He won it for mankind. So far as our Lord himself is concerned, throughout his life, Satan had assaulted him, tried to win over him. We remember how our Lord Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. Satan exhausted all his temptations upon our Lord Jesus. Throughout his life, our Lord was tempted in all things without sin. That means that in the life of our Lord Jesus, he won the battle over Satan. And that's the reason why we find that on the Mount of Transfiguration, so far as himself is concerned, he was ready to go. Because he had won the victory. He had demonstrated to the world the man of God's own heart, the man of God's purpose, the man that God desired. But brothers and sisters, our Lord came into this world not just to demonstrate to the world the man that God desired. He came to this world to save the lost. And for this reason, he had to enter into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he had to fight it out and win that battle not for himself, but for mankind. He went into that garden. He left 8 of his disciples, just probably near the entrance of the garden. And he took 3, Peter, John, and James, 3 that were closest to him. He took 3 of them and went further into the garden. Something happened. The Bible said, he began to be very sorrowful and deeply depressed. He told his disciples that his soul was sorrowful, so sorrowful, even unto death. And in Mark, it is said, he began to be amazed and depressed, oppressed in spirit. Very sorrowful. You know, throughout that night, how calm, how composed was our Lord. He knew he was to go back to his Father. He knew that his Father has given everything to him. The disciples were sorrowful during that last supper. And our Lord Jesus comforted them. And he said, I leave joy with you. I give my joy to you. In other words, you find that the Lord knew what was going to happen. And he was so calm, so sure. He knew this is the hour. And yet suddenly, at that moment, it seems as if all the power of darkness descended upon him. He entered into a fierce battle. Now, did our Lord lose his composure? Did he not know that this is the hour he came from? Why did he recall? Did he not know that it is a cup that the Father had given to him to drink? Why did he ask if it is possible that this cup brothers and sisters, throughout his life, he mentioned a number of times, my hour has not yet come. In other words, he is always waiting for that hour. That is the hour that he came for. He was born for that hour. And before that hour came, nothing could happen. And even in John chapter 12, he said, the hour has come. Father, this is the hour that I come for. What is that? That hour speaks of his glorification. And his glorification began at the cross. He was actually looking for that hour of his death. Because his death is his glorification. By his death, he glorified the Father. And the Father glorified him. Even in Matthew chapter 20, when his two disciples, John and James, came and asked to sit on his right and on his left in his kingdom, our Lord Jesus said, "Are you able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink?" In other words, he knew he was going to drink that cup. But why is it that suddenly at this moment it seems that our Lord has lost his cool? Brothers and sisters, I feel the sea of Gethsemane is really too sacred to be told. It is a sea that should be hidden from the world. You know, it is like the seven thunders. After the thunders, John was going to write it down, and God said, "No, this is in a sense." I do feel the Garden of Gethsemane ought to be a secret. So sacred to talk about. And yet it pleases God to reveal that scene to us. In order to show us our Lord Jesus paid for our salvation. The conflict was so terrific. Our Lord's spirit was oppressed. His soul, his body was under such agony that he sweat blood, drops of blood falling upon the ground. An angel had to appear to strengthen him physically. Why? Because without that strengthening, he might die in the garden. Such a terrific. Brothers and sisters, in Philippians chapter 2, we are told, he who was equal with God, and that was not something to be grasped at, he emptied. He took up the form of a slave, taking the fashion of a man, and being a man, obedient to his Father, even unto death, and the death of the cross. Our Lord Jesus was the Son of God. He is one with God. He is God, the eternal Son. He lived in glory with his Father. And yet, because of his love for us, he emptied himself. He emptied himself of all the glory, majesty, honor associated to God. He emptied all of these. And he took upon himself the form of a humble man. That is love. But brothers and sisters, even that does not affect his character. In other words, even though he humbled himself to become a man, and yet his character was not affected. He is pure, he is holy, he is love, he is everything that God is in nature. And he is everything that God desires in a man. It doesn't affect his character. But here, something terrible happened. That cup, you know, cup in the scripture speaks. In Psalm 16, verse 5, it is said, Jehovah is my inheritance and the portion of my cup. Thou maintainest my life. In Psalm 23, verse 5, it said, my cup runneth over. Cup speaks of portion. It speaks of God's will. It is God's will for his son. And at this very moment, God's will for his son is to make him a sin offering. In other words, you find throughout the life of our Lord Jesus, not to say from eternity. From eternity, he and the Father are one. There is such harmony, such oneness, such love, such purity there. Never a cloud, never a shadow. But even when our Lord Jesus came to be a man, you find for 33 years of his life on earth, there was no shadow, no shade, no distance between him and the Father, because he pleases God in all things. He always does the Father's will. And the Father is always with him. He said, I'm never alone. My Father is with me. There is no separation. Perfect. In that God, the cup that the Father delivers to him is the bitter cup of curse. In other words, he who knew no sin was to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Brothers and sisters, just think of it. We are not as pure, far from being pure, as our Lord Jesus is pure. Even with us, when some terrible sin is mentioned, we shrink of it. And see, this is too dreadful, too defiled. But think of our Lord Jesus. He knew no sin. He did not know what sin was. He had never sinned. He always pleased the Father. And yet, at that moment, that cup delivered to him was to make him sin. It is more than just piling all the sins of the world upon him. Your sins, my sins. All the sins that the world had committed piled upon him. He bore in his body the sins of the world. It is more than that. He was to be made sin itself. No wonder he was oppressed in his sin. No wonder he was sorrowful even unto death. How could he, who was sinless, became very sin? Sin itself. How could he take it? He will be completely defiled. That pure human will abhors sin, and yet it was the Father's will to make him. That's the cup he was to drink. So here you'll find the power of darkness came upon him and upon his pure human will. Save yourself. Don't be defiled. You are holy. You are pure. Keep yourself whole. Be intact, not to be defiled. So God opened something and let us glimpse, gave us a glimpse into that. More than he who pleases the Father all his life. There was never a separation from eternity. There was always that sweet communion and fellowship. And yet the Lord knew, if he should drink that cup, he would be separated. That's eternal death. That's hell. For the love of his Father, he recalled from this very moment. He didn't want to be separated. It is the Father's will that he should drink the cup. So, brothers and sisters, you find the battle in the Garden of Gethsemane is over this measure of the cup. From that moment, from the pure human will. Let us cut the past. Not be defiled. Not be separated. That is the cry of the heart of our Lord Jesus. And yet, he said, not my will, but thine be done. If it is your will that I must drink it, so be it. He yielded his perfect human will to the Father's will. And the battle was won. Brothers and sisters, sometimes, because when salvation came to us, it is free. So sometimes we have that impression that salvation is cheap because we did not pay anything. It is given to us freely. But God does desire us to know how much it costs Him. How much it costs His beloved. Lest we forget Gethsemane. Lest we forget his agony. Lest we forget how much he loves us. Lead us to Calvary. So, brothers and sisters, I do believe that the reason why this almost unspeakable scene is revealed to us is to show us the love, the deep love of God, the love of our Lord Jesus for us, that we may never forget how much He loves us. This is the foundation of our salvation. In Hebrews chapter 5, we are told, while He was in the days His flesh, He offered up supplications, entreaties to the one who was able to save Him out of death, with strong crying and tears. And because of His piety, after being perfected, He became the He became to those who obey Him the author of eternal salvation. And brothers and sisters, this is Gethsemane. You know, Gethsemane means oil press. We do not know really who owned that garden. It must be owned by a friend. Because he had free access to that garden. And some people thought, actually, Mark's father owned that place. And it is a place that our Lord often went. Oil press. Our Lord is like an olive. Full. Born of the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Anointed with the Spirit. Throughout his life, he was like an olive. So perfect. So complete. So beautiful. And yet, that olive must be must be broken so that oil may flow forth. for the healing of men. And brothers and sisters, there in that garden, our Lord Jesus was crushed. His outward man, even that perfect outward man, was broken. So that life may flow from him for the healing of the nations. That's Gethsemane. But brothers and sisters, Gethsemane is more than just Gethsemane is a principle. You remember our Lord Jesus said to the two sons of Zebedee, "Are you able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink?" And they said, "Well, we will." They really do not know what that is. And the Lord said, "Yes, you indeed will drink the cup. Will drink my cup." So in other words, the cup that our Lord Jesus drank is also our cup. We must drink his cup. Now, what is his cup? At that moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, it is the cup of curse. Bitter cup. And because our Lord Jesus drank that bitter cup of curse, he has left us with the cup of blessing. You know, when we were remembering the Lord at his table, it is the cup of blessing that we bless. And the reason is because our Lord has drank the cup of curse. So we now have the cup of blessing. But so far as the cup is concerned, it is the Father's will. The Father's will is that cup for him. And we who believe in the Lord Jesus, the Father's will is now our cup. Brothers and sisters, when we first believe in the Lord Jesus, we are united to God in life. In other words, we receive a new life, the life of the Son, God's own life. And we are united with God in life. We become children of God. But that is just the beginning. Spiritual growth is growing into union with God in will. Not only just in life, but in will. In other words, our will is being brought into one with God's will. That is the highest union that man can ever have with God, is the union of two wills. It is not God's will that we have no will. God is the supreme will. And he creates man with a will. But it is the will of God that our human will be so subjected to to the divine will, that there will be a union of wills. That is the highest Christian experience. And in a sense, you'll find that throughout our Christian life, our Christian growth, this is what it is. Not my will, but thy will be done. It is extremely difficult for us to yield our will to God's will. Our natural will is not pure as the will, the human will of our Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus is perfect. His human will is pure. And even with that pure will, there is such a tremendous battle to yield that will to the Father's will, to be one. Not my will, but thy will be done. Now, how much more we need to yield our will to God's will. Our will is so selfish, so self-centered, so self-interested, so protective of ourselves. We want to keep ourselves intact. Even our best will cannot substitute God's will. Oftentimes, we think our good will is God's will. God ought to be pleased with our will. But to our surprise, we find that even our good will, our best will, cannot substitute. And oftentimes you'll find our best will, good will, is an enemy of God's will. We have to come to the place to say, not my will, but thy will be done. Not even my best will, my good will. Look at Peter. He just received a great revelation. He confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said, Simon, by Jonah you are blessed, because this is not something show you by flesh and blood. It is my Father in heaven who has revealed to you. You are, Peter, a stone. I will build my church upon this rock, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And then the Lord began to reveal to his disciples, he must go to Jerusalem, he will be denied, he will be sentenced to death, but on the third day he will rise from the dead. And look at Peter. He was so elated with that tremendous revelation, got the praise from our Lord Jesus, he lost his head. And he took hold of our Lord Jesus, shook him, and said, not so, Lord. Be good to yourself. Don't go to the cross. Good will. But the Lord says, Satan, get me behind. Oh, how often our good will is Satan. There again you'll find, during the Last Supper, when our Lord Jesus rose up and began to wash his disciples' feet, most likely Peter was the first one to be washed. And Peter said, oh, no, 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 no. You are the Lord. How could you do that?
very reasonable. Not so, Lord. But the Lord said, if you do not allow me to do it, you have no part with me. And Peter said, well, wash my head, everything. And the Lord said, you don't need that. Goodwill is not God's will. There again you'll find on that roof in Jaffa, he was in ecstasy and saw a sheet coming down full of unclean animals. And the boy said, Peter, rise, kill and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything unclean. How close. He refused to do that. Not so, Lord. What a contradiction. And brothers and sisters, this is what we are. We have been doing that all the time. This is a great temptation. Maybe the greatest temptation. My will. Not your will. Your will be my will. Not my will. Brothers and sisters, is a principle. It's a principle for our life that we need to learn. We need to always learn to say, not my will, but thine be done. And only thus we grow spiritually. Furthermore, Gethsemane is oil press. Unless the olive is pressed, no oil will come forth for the healing of man. With our Lord Jesus, he's being crushed. And life flows out from him for our redemption. In that he is alone. But brothers and sisters, it is the will of God that we do not just grow into a beautiful, perfect, it is true. We need to grow. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Not just having the Spirit of God dwelling in us, that we all have, but we need to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us. We should be like the olive trees. You remember in Zechariah, the vision he saw, two olive trees? To sons of oil, supplying all to the lamp. This is the will of God, that we should be olive trees. We should be olives. We should be sons of oil. We should be full of the Holy Spirit. That is the will of God. But it is not just to be olive trees, just to be olives. Why are we to be olive trees? Why should we grow olives? It is to be crushed, that the oil may come forth. So, brothers and sisters, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, God's will is not just for us to receive and receive and receive. Thank God he has put us in the land as we had been meditating during the Lord's table. Our land is a good land, flowing with milk and honey. Our Lord Jesus, the riches of Christ, all that we are enjoying. Thank God for that. But brothers and sisters, that's not the end. He warns us who have received such riches from Him to give out, to give to others what we have received for the healing of the nations. But how can we give out? That's the reason why our Lord said, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. This is the sign of discipleship. Are we willing to deny ourselves? That is a matter of will. And if we are willing to deny ourselves, that is, deny our will, not my will, but thine be done. Then the Holy Spirit, He will arrange our circumstances, people, events, things, not according to our will, but according to His wisdom. He will arrange our circumstances to break our outward man. Surrounded, but not finished. You may think if you are surrounded, you are finished. No. Surrounded, not finished, because there is an upward way you still can. At your wit's end, but not life's end. Yes, you have come to your wit's end. You have plan and plot, like Jacob. But now you're facing your brother. And he came with 400. You are at your wit's end. But Lot, life's end. It is the beginning of life. You may be crippled, yes. But that's the beginning of life. Resurrection life. Persecuted. But not abandoned. You may be persecuted by everybody, but you are not abandoned by God. He is still with you. Knocked down, but not knocked out. You may be knocked down, yes. But you get up. You're not knocked out yet. That's Philip's translation, by the way. The Holy Spirit will discipline us using our environment. Unexpected, unwelcome, strange, unthinkable, but the Holy Spirit knows what He is doing. He knows there is oil there that needs to be released. Brothers and sisters, if there is no oil there, there is no need for crushing. Some people have never been crushed because they are empty. But if there is oil there, the Father's will is that oil, that olive needs to be crushed. This is the slaying of Jesus that Paul talked about. He said, I bear in my body the slaying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be in you. My outward man is decaying, but my inward man is renewed day by day. This is the secret. So, brothers and sisters, Gethsemane is more than a history. It is a foundation. Gethsemane is a principle. A principle that our Lord Jesus has demonstrated to us and is calling us to watch with Him. For an hour. Watch and pray that he enter not into temptation. The only way that we can overcome our will to will God's will needs to watch. If we do not watch, because the enemy is trying very hard to tempt us to exert our will, to have our own will, unless we watch and we pray, because we ourselves are not able to, we have to look to the Lord. And if we obey Him, He is the author of our eternal salvation. You find that He will supply the need to us because He has overcome. Therefore, His victory is ours. We too may overcome. We will not fall into temptation, but we will be able to drink the Father's cup, be it sweet or bitter. Let God choose for us, and let us not choose ourselves. On that night, even the three closest to the Lord were so overwhelmed with grief that they fell asleep. And that's the reason why they fell into temptation. They all scattered. Peter denied the Lord. So, brothers and sisters, the word of the Lord to us today is watch. That he enter not into temptation. And the temptation is my will, not God's will. That's the temptation. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for opening us to us a window into that sacred scene, the Lord in the garden. Oh, how we thank thee for loving us so much as to be willing to be defiled, to be separated from your Father. Lord, may the agony of Gethsemane be always with us, that we never forget. And Lord, thou hast called us to drink the cup that thou dost drink. We pray that we too may really desire the Father's will and not our own will. Oh, that our will may be in subjection to thy will. Thy will be done. Keep us to watch.